And see, how many of you would actually follow through with that? My son, thank you, Don. My son, Andrew, you phone him and you get a voicemail. It says, thanks for calling. Really keen to talk to you. I return my phone calls at 12 noon and 4 o'clock. That's the voicemail. Now, he holds himself accountable. He set himself up for 12 and 4. So you better follow through with that. But he's communicating, I'm not available every minute. I'll get back to you at 12 or 4. See, here's the thing about focus. Other people's urgency doesn't need to become your urgency. Did you get that? I've been doing work for Trump University, you know, Donald Trump's latest deal. And we've been doing webinars. We do these webinar things for people all over the world. We did this six-month program with them. And I have to put together 60 slides for these webinars every month. I get this phone call from New York. And the guy, one of the guys organizing the webinar says, hey, Les, yeah, we're getting all ready for the next webinar coming up in a couple of weeks. Can you get me 60 slides by tomorrow morning? I said, are you kidding? He doesn't know my schedule, right? 60 slides by tomorrow morning. Here's the question I've learned that will save you time like you won't believe. I said, Don, when do you really need them? Different Don. You don't live in New York, do you? I said, when do you really need them? There was a pause. He said, you know, probably next week would be okay. This is typical. People get their urgency, they put big priority on it, and suddenly it becomes your problem. Push back. Just say, when do you really need it? It will buy you time like you don't believe. It doesn't work all the time. And if there is something critical that needs attention, then you respond to that. But not everything is urgent. Not everything is important. Used to be, a few years ago, you could wait a couple of days for information. And now it's like, did you get my email I sent you 5 minutes ago? How come I haven't heard from you? Get a life.
Can I? No, I'm sorry. I know you're on a roll, but you know that stupid thing that pops up every time an email, and that little thing that goes like this, woo, in the top bottom right hand corner of your computer.
Turn it off.
Turn it off. And if you don't know how to do it, ask your 6-year-old child. He'll know how to do it. But that is the ultimate.
Very true.
Disruptor.
And these are simple little things that you can do. And a lot of you are saying, oh, that sounds really good. But will you do it? Will you test it? Will you test putting it out there that you handle phone calls, return phone calls twice a day? Communicate that. Another thing is saying no. Some people want to be so nice all the time, they'll never say no. And people just load more and more stuff on them. Oh, they always say yes. Give it to him. Give it to her. Little practice for you here. Everybody stand up, please. I heard somebody say no. That was good. It's always a sharp group, Don. I know. Okay, partner up with somebody beside you there. Or at the next table, doesn't really matter. Okay? Pick an A and a B. Somebody's A, somebody's B. Person A, what I want you to do is ask your partner for two things that you want done. Make it up. Anything that you want done. Okay? Your partner is going to look you in the eye and very firmly say, no. And then we're going to reverse it. Two questions each. The answer is no. Do it. Such a great group, you guys. Can I rent you as an audience? You make this so easy for me. It's great. Somebody said no, right? So for you nice people out there, how difficult was that? Honestly. Some of you difficult to say no, look somebody right in the eye and say no. Or some of you saying, well, I'll have to think about it. Well, maybe. Or if you're really nice, well, okay. But yeah, but really, you know, sometimes you're in the middle of something important, you got to say no. Or not right now, not today. Focus, you want more time, you want to get more productive? Simple stuff, simple stuff. Oh, boy, there's so much we could cover in this. Give you one more thing here. That's a photograph of a race, obviously. Some people are starting the race, and somebody's obviously finishing the race. One of the biggest lessons I ever learned, thankfully, from another wonderful mentor, a man in Phoenix called George Adair, who I owe a lot to, 12 years of incredible coaching from him. Best facilitator I've ever met in my life. And a question he asked me once that just stopped me cold. He said, Les, are you a starter or a finisher? Nobody had ever asked me that question before. Do you ever get asked that question? Are you a starter or a finisher? And I said, well, George, you know, I think I start things and I think I finish things. I think I'm both. He said, no, you're not. You're a starter. I've been watching you. Hey, George is very blunt, like he just told you the way it was, didn't pussyfoot around anything. And when I thought about it, he was right. Starter meaning I'm creative, get ideas, start things, would never finish anything, but would start a lot of stuff. Anybody relating to this, hands up. Many starters have we got in the room? In this room, there'd be lots. Here's the wonderful thing that I learned. It's okay to be a starter. It's a gift. You've been gifted if you're a starter. But starters need finishers. And it's okay to say, I don't get into all the detailed stuff. Somebody else needs to handle that, which is a whole other topic. But we can't do everything. Other people need to pick up the slack. I have a couple of people in my office who are wonderful finishers, detailed people. You give them a list of 20 things and they're almost salivating. They're so excited to get started, you know. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You give me a list of 20 things, about number 3, I'd be creating some new big idea, you know, like, this doesn't work for me. Starters need finishers, and finishers need starters because finishers aren't that innovative or creative, and that's okay. Now, when I say be a starter, if you're in charge, you need to be overseeing the details, not in the middle of the details, overseeing them, making sure the thing actually gets done. There's a big difference between micromanaging and overseeing. And there's a lot of different things we teach about how you handle that stuff. But that was a major breakthrough for me. If you're too controlling, you play this game, nobody can do it as well as I can, so I think I'll do everything. And I played that game for years. Drove me to distraction. And finally, somebody said, there's a better way. Give it up. Some of the things don't need to be perfect. Somebody else does them 80% of the time. That's more than good enough. And if you get really great finishers, they'll do it even better than you could ever do. With a little training and a little time. Changed my life. Totally. Well, Tiger Woods, talk about focused. Amazing. Did you see him last weekend? Wins the Tour Championship. The pot was $10 million. Biggest prize ever in golf. And he races through the final championship in Atlanta. What did he win by? 7 strokes, 8 strokes at the end? Just blew everybody away. I think that was the 4th win out of 5 of his last championships. You know what his goal is? To be the greatest golfer ever. He's 31 years old. Just won his 60th PGA tournament at age 31. Unbelievable. What's his big goal? To win more major championships than anybody in history. Jack Nicklaus holds the magic number 18 championships. Tiger's at 13. 6 to go, and he's the all-time best. Would you bet on him? No doubt about that. Focused,